Hello and welcome to the Crystal River Church of God podcast, where you will find focus for a living.
Give the Lord another hand clap of praise and let's show some appreciation for Rachel and Elisha who filled in at the very last moment tonight. They got the call about an hour ago, so they were ready at a moment's notice. Very grateful for the folks in this church. Very grateful today for all the servants in this church. I'm very grateful for all the folks that are sitting in the seats tonight, and I'm very grateful for all that you do for the people in this church. And when Brother Lee passed today, I got several Facebook messages from people on the spot, you know, saying, what does the family need? Let me know. We can cook. We can take care of them. I love that we are a Christ-centered church, and we're a servant-focused church, and I love that. And I love that that we are friends with one another, and that we can be there for one another. Amen? So tonight, I'm going to give you a message that I actually wrote a couple of months ago, and I was going to, actually the last couple of times that I've had the opportunity to get behind this pulpit and preach, I was going to preach this message, and then the Lord said, no, we're going in a different direction. So the last couple of times that I've gotten up here, I've preached different messages, even though this one was ready, and then this week I got the okay to go ahead and preach this message. So the message that we're going to preach tonight is dealing with anger. A young lady was waiting for her flight in the boarding room of a big airport. As she would need to wait for a long time, she decided to buy a book to read, a packet of cookies to snack on. She sat down in an armchair in the VIP room of the airport to relax and read in peace. A man sat down in the seat next to her, opened his magazine, and started reading. When she took out the first cookie, the man also took one. She felt irritated, but she didn't say anything. She just thought, what nerve. If I was in the mood and I didn't think I would get in trouble, I would punch his lights out for taking one of my cookies. He didn't even ask. Then, for the next few minutes, for each cookie she took, the man also took one. This was infuriating her, but she didn't want to cause a scene. Then it got down to the bottom of the bag, and only one cookie remained. She thought to herself, what is this jerk gonna do now? So the man reached in the bag, took the last cookie. Then he broke it in half, and he gave her half of it. That was too much. She was really angry now. In a huff, she took her book, she packed up her things, and she stormed off to board her plane, knowing, just knowing that the look on her face and her actions showed him how distasteful he was being. When she sat down in her seat on the plane, she looked into her purse to take out her reading glasses, and to her surprise, her packet of cookies that she purchased was there in her purse, untouched and unopened. She felt so ashamed. She realized that she was wrong. She had forgotten that her cookies were in her purse. The man had divided his cookies with her without feeling angry or bitter. While she had been very angry, thinking that she was dividing her cookies with him, and now there was no chance to explain herself nor to apologize. Have you ever lost your cool and then realized later that it was in fact you that was in the wrong? I'm sure that most of us have. I know I have. Let's save ourselves some embarrassment and let's make sure that we are in possession of all the facts before we react in a situation. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4 tonight, and I'm going to pray over the message. Thank you, Lord. We give you praise, honor, and glory. We thank you, Father, for being able to spend time in your presence tonight. I pray, Lord, that you would anoint this message that you've given me to give to your people. I pray, Lord, that this message would not just be spoken tonight and fall to the ground, but that it would be taken home by each and every one of us, applied in our lives. Lord, I also pray that as I share the pulpit tonight that Brother James Lee preached in regularly, that I would make him proud. In Jesus' name, amen. Anger is an emotion. It's a feeling. But like each and every feeling that we have, we choose what to do with it. Now, we teach in Marriage Restored when Jessica and I go off to the weekend, and we're going off to a Marriage Restored weekend coming up Friday. We leave to go to Tampa. When we go off to a weekend, one of the things that we teach on the weekend is that feelings are neither right nor wrong. Feelings just are. They just happen. By very definition of a feeling is a spontaneous inner reaction to a person, place, or thing or situation. So it's a spontaneous inner reaction. It just happens. It just comes up within us, and we have no choice how to feel. It just happens. So a lot of times in life, we say things to people like, you shouldn't feel that way. I can't believe you feel that way, as though they have a choice to how they feel. Now, just like that happens within our life, we also have anger that comes up as an emotion on a regular basis. Does anybody else in the room recognize that we all deal with anger on a regular basis? I know I do. You probably have dealt with it today, as have I. Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to start reading in verse 26, says this. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Although this is a spontaneous inner reaction, although anger is something that comes up in us spontaneously, and it's something that we can feel and we have no control whatsoever on the feelings that arise within us, we have absolutely every control on what we do with those feelings. We have absolutely every control on what happens next. Anybody ever seen a sign that's what's next, or in a movie, coming up next, or the Paul Harvey show, now the rest of the story, right? Whenever something happens and we have an inner reaction, we have a feeling that comes up, we are not in control of that feeling. And I know I'm repeating myself, but I'm trying to beat it into my head as well as yours tonight. We are not in control of that feeling. However, we are very in control of what we do with it. We're very in control of what we do next. Trying to reason with that feeling, trying to reason with our feelings and make sense of our feelings is like actually trying to reason with a one-year-old. Has anybody in this room ever tried to reason with a one-year-old? We have one asleep on the front row up here. If you try to reason with a one-year-old, the sense that you're making in your own mind makes absolutely no sense to them. And what they want to do makes the most sense to them, but absolutely makes the no sense to us, right? A one-year-old will reach out and touch something that's very hot. A one-year-old will try to climb something that they could fall down and break their neck. A one-year-old will put themselves in dangerous situations that it makes absolutely no sense, and you can't reason with them. It's the same with our feelings. We cannot reason with our feelings. In order to grasp this scripture, the first idea that we have to comprehend tonight is simply this. Anger in itself is not a sin. Anger in itself is not a sin. See, we say people have an anger problem, but what we're referring to in that is how they act when they're angry. So what we're referring to is not the anger. It's not an anger problem. What we're referring to is a sin problem. Or rather, what we're referring to might be a sanctification problem. How has God worked out the fruits of the Spirit in your life thus far? How have you allowed God to work out the fruits of the Spirit in your life? How are you reacting whenever you're angry? How are you reacting when these emotions come up in your life? So it may not necessarily be that you have an anger problem. It might be that you have a sanctification problem that you haven't dealt with yet. because everybody gets angry, but not everybody flies off the handle and kicks a car, right? I don't know about you. Does anybody else get angry when their corn is served in a restaurant and it's touching the mashed potatoes, right? That makes some people angry, right? Or if you walk in and one of these chairs is out of row, right? A line is wavy, one of these lines, and that might make you angry, right? Now, if you kick the chair, you've got a sanctification problem. If that made you angry and you walked over and just straightened the chair and went on about your day, you don't have an anger problem or a sanctification problem at that point, right? Does that make any sense to anybody? So we sometimes say we need to get rid of anger when really that's an impossibility because that's a spontaneous reaction that comes up. So rather than saying that we need to get rid of anger, what we really need to be saying is we need to learn how to control our emotions. So if the lady with the bag of cookies in the restaurant or in the airport would have asked a simple question, oh, are you hungry? She may have come to the realization that, yes, those weren't her cookies. I was hungry. That's why I bought them. But you're more than welcome to share them with me. And she may have come to the realization those weren't her cookies. But instead, she allowed speculation to seek in. And a lot of times the sister of anger is speculation, right? Because the more speculating we do within our mind, because we sit there and seethe in our anger, we don't deal with our anger, we sit there and seethe in it, so the longer we seethe in our anger, speculation begins to creep in. And the more we think of it, but the speculation is like running water, right? It always runs downhill. Water never runs uphill, and neither does our thoughts when we're speculating. Speculating always runs downhill. So like this lady eating the gentleman's cookies, she thought they were her cookies, and she began to speculate that this gentleman was just the rudest person on the planet, could not believe that he even had the gall to reach into her bag and take her cookies, all the while she's reaching into his bag and taking his, right? Sometimes that's where anger and speculation takes us. Point number one tonight is simply this. There's a difference between righteous anger and unrighteous anger. I want to talk about anger in the Bible for just a moment, really quickly. There's 234 times in the King James Version that the Bible mentions anger. It's a common emotion. It's a common thing. You probably mentioned somebody's anger today, or you got angry today, or you witnessed somebody being angry today. Can everybody raise a hand that says one of those three things probably happened today? I either talked about it, witnessed it, or I was it, right? Has anybody ever sat in a McDonald's drive-thru and it took longer than the 2 minutes that you had planned to be there? And you begin to get angry. Things come up, emotions come up, but what do you choose to do with that emotion? Do you beep at the people in front of you who are stuck in a line just the same as you? Do you yell out the window? Do you treat the girl who's working at the window rudely when you get up? Do you throw your money in through the window? Take that. You have kept me here for 5 minutes. I only planned on being here for two. Now you've made me late to work. Of course, it wasn't her that made you late to work. It was that you got out of the house late being on time at work is 15 minutes early. Being on time is late. So if you plan on pulling in the parking lot of work at 9 o'clock and you're supposed to be there at 9 o'clock, you're already late. Just saying. So we all have dealt with anger. Proverbs 29:22 says this about anger. A man of wrath stirs up strife, and one given to anger causes much transgression. One given to anger. You can be in a state where you're given over to your emotions. Does everybody realize that? We all have emotions. We all have things that we deal with, but being given over to them is a whole different level. That's a whole different thing. You can be given over to them, not just anger, but you could be given over to greed. You could be given over to lust, envy, bitterness, hatred. There's all kinds of emotions and feelings that we can be given over to in life. But there's a distinct line between feeling something and being given over to something. You absolutely have the control on whether to be given over to something or not. And you absolutely have a helper in the matter whether you're going to be given over to an emotion or not. The helper in the matter is the Holy Spirit, right? A few verses down from where we read a few minutes ago in verse 30 says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. And then he goes into, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. So you know that when we feel something inside and we don't react to it, we're heeding the Holy Spirit's words. We're heeding the Holy Spirit. We're following the fruits of the Spirit. But when we react violently, or we react rudely, or we say something or we do something, then we're following the works of the flesh. So when you follow the works of the flesh too many times, you get used to following the works of the flesh. And as you begin to follow the works of the flesh on a daily basis, pretty soon you can be given over to the works of the flesh. So if you allow yourself to get angry on a daily basis and you don't subside it, you don't pray through it, you don't push it away, you don't push it down, you don't put it away, but you revel in it. It feels good to kick something once in a while. It feels good to throw a punch. It feels good to scream. It feels good to shout, right? But that's all because it's the flesh. The reason it feels good is because that's your flesh. And when you feed your flesh, sometimes it feels good. But the Bible, the Lord has called us to put down those things and not deal with them in that manner. So you can be given over to your emotions. Now, the next part of that sentence says, nor give place to the devil. That emphasizes that Christians can actually give ground in their lives to satanic control. Now, there's a lot of theological discussion on whether Christians can be demonically possessed or not, and that's not what I'm talking about tonight. That's not what the Word is talking about in that area. It's not talking about demon-possessed, but it's talking about vexed or oppressed. We can be given into anger, given into the flesh, so much so that eventually we become oppressed in that area that needs to be broken off through prayer and fasting, as Jesus said. So sometimes we get to the point where we're vexed or oppressed in an area so deeply that we need to go through a process called deliverance to have those things broken off of our lives. That doesn't mean that you weren't a Christian. That means that you gave Satan a place, as that scripture said, in your life in a particular area that needs to be broken off. Okay? That doesn't mean that you're not a Christian. That means that you have a stronghold in your life that needs to be broken off. So we can give place to that. You can be given over to a spirit of compulsion. While being self-controlled is a fruit of the Spirit, who has greater influence on you in this area of your life? So I know this is a life application message tonight. That's what this is. This is a life application. So as you think about your life and as you think about how you deal with anger tonight, who has greater control in that circumstances? Does the enemy, does the devil have greater controls in how you deal with anger? Or does the Holy Spirit have greater control in that area of your life? And you can sit here tonight in a crowd this size. Some of you will say, I've conquered that area. I'm going to raise my hand and I'm going to say, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. I used to deal with anger in the works of the flesh, but now I've conquered that area through the help of the Holy Spirit. I've submitted myself to the Holy Spirit so that whenever I grieved him and he convicted me for how I was acting, I eventually stopped acting that way. I eventually stopped doing those things in my life. I stopped grieving the Holy Spirit in that way so that now I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that when somebody makes me angry, I don't have to react like I used to react. Now, there's some of you in this room tonight that may not have conquered that area in your life yet. And that's okay to have not conquered it in your life yet. It's not okay to continue walking that way. It's not okay to walk out those doors and blow that off and say, well, that's just the way I am. That's just the way I was raised. That is just my nationality. You know, it's not okay to walk out the door and say those things. You need to submit to the Holy Spirit in your life so that when he convicts you for acting a certain way, you eventually stop acting that way so that you're not given over to that area in your life, so that you don't have to go through deliverance ministry to get those areas of satanic control broken off of your life or those areas of oppression broken off of your life. So it's important. The majority of righteous anger in the Bible is usually in defense of someone who is defenseless, or it's in defense of God's word against sin. So what is righteous anger? Righteous anger is righteously defending someone else who is defenseless, or it's righteously defending God's word against sin. That's a righteous anger. Every time that we see in the New Testament that Jesus was angry, what was he doing? He was defending somebody else, or he was defending the Word of God. So every time you see Jesus get angry, that's what he was doing. That's righteous anger. Unrighteous anger occurs when it's motivated by pride. Some of you may need to write that down tonight. Unrighteous anger occurs when it's motivated by pride. When it is unproductive, distorting the Word of God, or when allowed to remain in one's heart without forgiveness and without healing. So if we notice that the scripture said, in the very first scripture that we read tonight, it said, do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Now, I believe wholeheartedly, and we teach this to married couples as well, but we believe this wholeheartedly, that do not let the sun go down on your wrath, that you should have all things and have your hearts and conscience clear before you lay your head on the pillow and go to bed at night. You should. Now, there's going to be points and times, and I realize that this is not a perfect world. So there's going to be points and times in your lives when you're dealing with somebody, whether it be a friend, whether it be a coworker, whether it be a relative, whether it be your spouse, a child, a parent, whoever it is that offends you, that you're not able to correct the situation before you lay your head down on the pillow and go to sleep at night, that you're just unable to get with them and correct that situation. It's times like that that you need to have your heart clear. So you need to lean down. Lay down, get down on your knees, whatever you do when you pray at night. Get down in your secret place and seek God and say, Lord, take this out of my heart so that my conscience is clear. Lord, forgive me for any wrongdoing in this situation. Help me to have forgiveness towards them. And then your conscience is clear, and then you go to bed. Now, I believe wholeheartedly that that's okay. Sometimes you can't track somebody down and take care of it before you go to sleep. I believe wholeheartedly that this scripture, like most scripture, is pointed back at us, not us pointing at other people. So we need to deal with the scripture in our own life and in our own selves rather than shoveling it to somebody else. That's where we need to be. Point number two tonight is this. There are two types of ways that people express anger. Some of you may be internalized, and some of you may be explosive. Internalized anger means when you get angry, you push it way down in your stomach, right? You push it way down in the pit of your stomach, and you carry that around. Maybe you have a hard time forgiving somebody. Maybe you remember that second grader that cut you in the lunch line 28 years ago. You know, you have a hard time forgiving somebody. Maybe you remember that dollar that your buddy borrowed from you in fifth grade and never paid you back, right? You're carrying that around. You have a hard time forgiving somebody. That's an internalized anger. It means you're not blowing up. You're not kicking walls. You're not screaming. You're not yelling. And these people sometimes from the outside look like they have it all together. Sometimes these people from the outside will look, yeah, they got control. They're good. But on the inside, these people are a ticking time bomb. Because they have never dealt with that emotion. They've never dealt with it with God, and they've never got it off their heart, and they've never dealt with it with you and never got it off their heart. So these people are walking around as ticking time bombs, and eventually something's going to explode. And carrying around internalized anger has been proven to be detrimental to your health. Look it up. There's research on it. If you carry around anger and unforgiveness, it's detrimental to your health. Not only that, but it's detrimental to your spiritual well-being. Carrying around unforgiveness is detrimental to your spiritual well-being. God says if you don't forgive others, he won't forgive you. And I don't know anybody in this room that hasn't sinned lately that needs to be forgiven. I think each and every one of us have a point of time within the last probably 3 minutes. Within the last 24 hours that we probably need to repent for, that we need to ask God's forgiveness for. We all have that. So if you haven't forgiven somebody, you're carrying around unforgiveness towards somebody, God's not going to forgive you. So it's important that you get your heart clear in the matter. So internalized anger is very dangerous there, but also explosive anger is very dangerous. I have some very different kids. I have kids that have totally different personalities. I have two daughters that have totally different personalities. One internalizes everything. One's an internalizer. One's explosive. Guess who gets in trouble? The explosive one. It may not be her fault. I recognize that now. I've learned a few things. It may not be her fault, but because she exploded rather than internalized it, she was the one who got all the attention, so she was the one that got dealt with, right? Or the other one got off scot-free, but she's carrying around and she's a ticking time bomb inside, right? So it's important to recognize your own personality. Where do you stand when it comes to anger? Are you an internalizer or are you an exploder? So in how your personality is, you have to deal with it differently. Bottom line, you take it to God the same way, but you have to deal with it differently within yourself and within your own spirit. So both forms of this anger are dangerous to an individual and their spiritual state if left unchecked. Explosive deals with outward expression, self-control, punching, screaming, kicking, biting, throwing things, breaking something. Internalized anger deals more with bitterness, hatred, strife, can show up in eating disorders, jealousy, issues of the heart. And it can eat you up from the inside out. So it's important that you stay clear in that area in your life. Whether you are explosive or internal usually depends upon your personality. As I said, you're either an introvert or an extrovert, typically. Point number three tonight is this. The root cause of anger is unmet expectations. It's important that we recognize this tonight. In order to apply this in our life, you need to recognize where anger comes from. Where does it come from? I said anger is a secondary emotion in the beginning, and it is. It typically happens after another emotion surfaces. So the root cause to every piece of anger in your life, every time you get angry, the root cause is unmet expectations. Unmet expectations lead to disappointment. Disappointment leads to hurt. Hurt leads to anger. And then anger leads to a desire for punishment. How many have felt that? Anybody had a desire to punish anybody at all today? McDonald's drive-thru? No? Okay. Leads to a desire for punishment. That could be our kids. That could be our spouse. That could be ourselves. That could be our friends. That could be our coworkers. How many of you know that you could be angry at absolutely anybody for any reason at any time? Unmet expectations happen in our lives at all times. You have opportunities to be angry, and you have opportunities to deal with it in a righteous manner or an unrighteous manner. So the root cause is unmet expectations. How do we punish one another within our relationships? Within relationships in our life, we punish one another through words or silence, right? We punish each other through actions or inactions. What do I mean by that? Maybe it's something that you normally do for somebody, and when you get angry, you stop doing it, right? Maybe you do laundry for somebody, and then you get angry and you stop doing laundry. Maybe you don't normally spend large amounts of money, but you get angry, you go spend large amounts of money, right? Maybe you don't normally scream and shout, but when you get angry, you scream and shout, or we punish with silence. So all of these stages happen that I'm talking about, the disappointment, the hurt, the anger, the desire for punishment, all of these stages happen with very little awareness on our behalf. It seems very natural for us to go through these stages, and that's because it is, because that's our flesh. It's very natural to follow the flesh sometimes. It's very natural to go down that path. So what do we do about it? I'm going to give you three things to do about it when you get to this point. Sometimes, does anybody know anybody that just never seems that angry? They never get that angry? They never really let things bother them? It's because they have lower expectations. That's not necessarily a bad thing, right? Sometimes you got to recognize that people are not perfect. And people certainly are not as perfect as you are. Do you get that? People are certainly not as perfect as you are. So sometimes you got to give people a break. You got to cut them a break. So rather than having high expectations. So the first thing you do about it, what do you do about it? When the root cause is unmet expectations, the first thing you do, take a look at your expectations. I don't care who you find yourself being most angry with at any point in time in your life, no matter who it is at this moment, and probably as I'm saying this, there's some of you that have thoughts in your mind, and there's people and there's probably faces popping up. Yep, that's them. That's who I find myself most angry with most of the time. Take a look at your expectations of that person. Now ask yourself a question. Are they reasonable? Are your expectations reasonable of that person at that moment? Do you deserve to be angry at that person? Or are you simply expecting too much out of an imperfect human being? Where are you at? Ask yourself those questions. Second, decide where that expectation comes from. Is it righteous or is it unrighteous? Does it come from your pride? Are you angry because they hurt your pride? Are you angry because they embarrassed you? Are you angry because they disappointed you? Where does it come from? Does it come from your pride? Does it come from unforgiveness? Are you harboring unforgiveness in your heart toward that person that you find yourself most angry at? Do you find yourself snapping constantly at somebody because you're harboring unforgiveness in your heart towards that person? Is it wounds? Did somebody wound you? Did somebody sin against you in your life? Is there a wound there? And we all know that wounds are sensitive to the touch. Amen? When you have a cut on your arm, it is sensitive to the touch. If you break your leg, it is sensitive to the touch. Wounds are sensitive. And wounds can make a person snap. Has anybody almost ever slapped a doctor? Right? Wounds will make you want to rear back. It makes you want to slap. Well, it's the same in your emotional life, not just your physical life. So if you have wounds that you haven't given over to Jesus, that you haven't allowed him to heal, and let me tell you tonight that each and every person in this room, none of you have a wound so deep that Jesus can't heal it. None of you. None of you have a wound so deep in life. I don't care what has happened to you. None of you have a wound so deep that Jesus can't empathize with it and that he can't heal it. So why hasn't it been healed? Why is it still festering? Why is it still sensitive to the touch? Maybe you haven't completely given it over to God yet. Maybe you haven't allowed control of that particular situation and control of that particular emotion in your life. Maybe you haven't allowed that control to escape you yet and turn over that control to God. So you're still carrying it. So you're not healing because you are not a physician. God is the ultimate physician in that area in your life. So the fourth thing, is it your desires or could it be just your basic needs? How many of you know that sometimes people let us down in just the simplest basic needs, right? We all need roof over our heads. We all need water. We all need food and we all need love. We have basic needs in our life. And if somebody lets you down in those basic needs of your life, is an area for you to possibly be angry. It's an unmet expectation. So you gotta really define where are these coming from. Where do these unmet expectations come from? So number one, are they reasonable? Two, where did it come from? And three, I've already said this, but seek God for one of two things. If you're dealing with this and it's hard and heavy in your life, and this is something, and I'm not talking about, I'm talking to you tonight, and you're like, well, I did get angry at McDonald's today. I'm not talking about that right now at this moment. But I'm talking about if you've been carrying around stuff in your heart, if you've been carrying around junk in your spirit, if you've been handicapped emotionally in your life, because you're carrying around things that happened to you in the past or things that are currently happening to you, have you sought God for either one of two things, release from that person that caused that pain and issues in your life, or restoration? See, sometimes we as people like to float around just in nowhere land. We don't like to deal with things. We like to leave them out there. Don't touch them, right? I heard it this week. Don't stir up the hornet's nest. Don't touch it. Just let it go. We like to do that because if we're not having to deal with it, we're not having to exert any energy in that area of our lives. But how many of you know that sometimes you have to pull off the Band-Aid? Sometimes you got to dig a little deeper in your life to get that stuff out so that God can deal with it, so that God can heal you, so that you're not so sensitive to that touch anymore. Amen? One of the marriages that we're going to minister to this weekend, as we did interviews, and one of the marriages, they're almost in divorce court because of a previous marriage. It's not because of the marriage that they're currently in. The marriage that they're currently in is okay. It needs some help, but it's okay. They're almost in divorce court because her previous husband cheated on her. How many of you know that relationships, no matter if it's a marriage or a friendship or a parent, no matter what the relationship is, we carry stuff from one relationship to the other because we haven't allowed God to deal with it. We haven't allowed God to dig it out and take care of it. And is that painful? Does that hurt? Absolutely it hurts. Man, it hurts when God starts digging in your wound. Man, it does not feel good. But let me tell you this, when that wound gets cleared out, when all of that junk gets cleared out of the way, when all of that infection comes out, and when that wound starts to close and starts to heal, and he puts Neosporin on it so you don't even have much of a scar, you know, when that takes place, man, does it feel good. You don't have to tuck your arm around when you walk anymore, scared somebody's going to bump it. You don't have to tuck your love around in your heart and keep walls around it, scared that somebody's going to bump it, because you've trusted God with it. God's healed it, and you're free then at that point to love again. You're free at that point to be a friend again. You're free at that point maybe to re-love somebody who broke it in the past, to re-love them again, to give them a second chance and an opportunity, because God hasn't released you from that relationship yet. Sometimes God will release you from a relationship, and sometimes God wants to restore a relationship. But we have to get the healing that we need in order to do either. In order to do either. So that's the next step we need to do. That's where we need to do, is seek God. Ask him, is my anger righteous? Am I released from pursuing this relationship, Lord? I know I still need to forgive, but I know I need to move on. I need to move on, and I don't mean move on from that relationship. I mean move on from that circumstance, move on from that situation. And then if God releases you from that relationship, then move on from that relationship. Move on from it and on to bigger and better things. But if God says there's restoration to be had in that relationship, then you seek restoration in that relationship. But we have to seek it. We have to ask the questions in order for it to happen. We have to forgive. We need to ask forgiveness. And sometimes God calls us to restore people. People who hurt us. People who betrayed us. People who may have done us wrong. Sometimes God will call you to step right back into that situation to restore them. Because God uses people, and restored people restore people. Saved people save people. Amen. Sometimes God wants to use you to save the very person that you've been carrying around a lot of pain about. I don't know who that's for tonight, but I know it's for somebody particularly in this room that's been in a broken relationship for a long time, and God wants to use you to restore that relationship. God wants to put you and your restored whole self back in that relationship so that that other person can be restored and as whole as you are. Amen? That's for somebody here tonight. When we have been wronged, we have a choice in how to deal with it. There's two ways that we can go. Next slide. You can take the works of the flesh highway or the fruit of the spirit path. I labeled these a highway and a path for a very specific reason. Because the fruits of the spirit path is a small path that few people take. And the works of the flesh highway, just like the highway to hell, is a broad highway that a lot of people walk down. I want to encourage you tonight in your relationships to take the fruit of the spirit path. To allow God to heal you. To allow God to work within you. To offer up your wounds, not tuck them away. Don't hide them any longer. Don't walk around scared on who's going to bump into it. Don't walk around scared that somebody might touch it or somebody might see it. But to walk up to this altar tonight and take your wound and just offer it up to God. And say, God, I'm tired of carrying this around. God, I'm tired of the pain. Lord, I am tired of running from you in this situation. I'm tired of trying to retain control over this situation when I know that the control is yours, not mine, to have. I'm tired of being hurt, and I'm tired of being in pain. We need to keep a short account with God. Something my wife always says, we need to keep a short account with God. What does that mean? It means you need to forgive often. Forgive often. Forgive immediately if you can. But forgive before the sun goes down, at least. Forgive often. Does that mean you feel it? Does that mean it's gone? No, not necessarily. But it means that you've made the choice to give God control over that relationship in your life. That you've made the choice to forgive. And you've said, Lord, I don't feel it yet. Lord, it's not healed yet. But God, I'm giving this to you. Lord, I'm seeking you. Restoration or release? Restoration or release? Father, I need you to speak a word into my spirit tonight. Restoration or release in this situation? But whatever you do, Father, whether it's restoration or whether it's release, whatever you do, don't forget to heal me. Don't forget to heal me so that when I walk into the next situation, when I walk into the next relationship, I won't be dragging that along like a 200-pound gorilla on my back. That I won't walk into the next relationship handicapped because, God, you healed me. You healed me completely. Whether that be a friendship, whether that be a marriage, whether that be whatever it is, that God can heal you before you move on to the next relationship. Forgive often. Appraise those relationships in your life that matter the most daily. Daily. Daily appraise your relationships with your spouse. Daily appraise your relationships with your friends, with your close friends. Daily appraise them. Have I sinned against my spouse today? Have I sinned against my kids today? Have I sinned against my friends today? Then, Lord, forgive me. And then go to them and ask for forgiveness. Appraise your relationships daily. Be honest and forthright with those that you love. Be honest with them. Don't carry this stuff around. Go to them in love and be honest with people before it gets to the point that you react out of your anger instead of respond. That was point number four. Respond in love. Don't react. If everybody could stand with me tonight. I wasn't planning on going this route with this message tonight, but it's gone there, and apparently there's somebody that needs it. First of all, I'd like to ask, all eyes closed, all heads bowed. If you're in this room tonight and you don't know Jesus, you want the opportunity to get the healing. You want the opportunity to be able to be free, but you don't know Jesus. If that's you in this room tonight, I'm going to ask you to raise a hand if you want to know him. If you want the healing that comes in a relationship with the Lord, if you want a healing that comes in that relationship, raise your hand tonight if that's you and you don't know him. I'm going to assume that everyone in here has a relationship with Jesus. The next question I'm going to ask you, is there an area in your life, is there a relationship in your life that you've retained control over? You've tried to deal with it on your own. You've tried to handle it yourself, and you've made a bigger mess of it. You've made bigger wounds, and you just need to release it tonight. You need to give God control over it and then ask God, restore or release. If that's you tonight, I'm going to ask you to step out of your seats. I'm going to ask you to come to this altar. As Elisha and Rachel begin to play and as they sing, come on up here. Lift up your hands. Freely offer it. Say to God, I give this to you. I choose to symbolically lay it on this altar tonight and give you control over it. I know, Lord, that I have every capability of walking out of here tonight and picking it back up. I know, Lord, that I have every capability of walking out of this door, going home with good intentions, and then waking up tomorrow and picking control back up. So, Lord, you're going to have to give me the strength. I don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit in these relationships in my life anymore. I need healing. And if that's you tonight, as they sing, just lift your hands and verbally speak it. Verbally speak it. There is power in words. There is power in verbally speaking it out of your mouth. I want you to verbally speak it. Lord, I give this relationship to you. I give control of this relationship to you. I want you, Lord, to give me direction in this relationship. Do I restore or am I released? As they sing.
Give myself away. Give myself away so you can use me. Give myself away. Give myself.
To have some prayer warriors that are here tonight to come forward and just lay hands on these folks that have come up and just begin to pray over them tonight. Thank you. Continue to worship and pray around the altar. You can stay here as long as you like. But if you need to leave, I'm going to pray over you and you are dismissed. Lord, I pray over your people tonight, Father. As we take your words and your scripture home, Lord, I pray that we would be able to think on it, Lord. That we would be able to walk about it, walk it out, Lord, and talk it through with others in our lives, Lord, and that we would be able to apply it, Father. I pray that you would give us the strength, Lord, to put off all malice, the strength, Lord, to put off all hate, Father, and to be able to walk in love, to be able to be Christ-like in every area of our lives, Lord, and not to withhold anything from you, not to keep a section back for ourselves to control, Lord, but to give you control of every area in our lives. We give you all the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. and again in the evening at 6 p.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.